Change. Good morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. To the best family, our friends and neighbors. So glad to have us gathering together on another podcast gathering. And this morning, amen, it's cold outside and snowing and ice in some places, but amen. We're going to experience the warmth of God's love and worship and praise this morning, because he's still worthy to be praised and he's still been good to us. So I'm just so thankful to have all of you join in this morning and to be with us. Thank you. We got Hutchinson family calling and Jordan, some others, and Moshan and Linda and Maya and Jennifer and Jean and Maxine and Francia, Dale, Carlos and Brother Favors, and probably many more of you, amen, coming in. We just appreciate you so much for coming in to join with us this morning. So now we are getting ready for our prayer. We want to have Cheryl to do a prayer for us, and then we'll come back and give our word for today.
Our Father, our Abba Father, God, you are a good, good Father, and the way that you love us takes our breath away. The way that you provide for us just surprises us every day. The way that you protect us, God, we just stop to say thank you this morning for your goodness and for your mercy. We bless you for being a Father who is faithful. We bless you for being a Father who is just good to us. God, we thank you that you've been blessing our going out and our coming in for years, and you've been watching over us, keeping our children safe, keeping us safe. God, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, God, on today. And we declare out loud, God, that you're still the best thing that's ever happened to us. We praise you this morning for new mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness this morning. We thank you that you caused us to see a beautiful day. We thank you for your snow. And God, and we thank you that even the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. So our lives, Father God, want to reflect how great and how good you are. We prepare for this day of worship, and we pray our hearts and our minds are ready to receive, God, what you have for us on today. But God, we not just come to receive, but we come to give. We come to give you glory. We come to give you praise. We lift our hands to you, God, because you are more than worthy to be praised. Thank you, God, that you have shown yourself to be more than enough in our lives, and we thank you for that. We thank you that all is well with us as it is. Now, as we prepare for your word, God, we thank you for this series that we have been on prayer. God, learning how to have a closer walk with you, learning how to have intimacy in our relationship with you. Thank you for the privilege of prayer, for the gift of prayer. We thank you. Bless our time together in a great way. Make it a special time, God. Let your word go forth in power and in might, in free course. We pray, God, to be unhindered, and we thank you that you will produce fruit from this word on today. Bless our time today as a church family. Thank you that we are still standing and that we are still together and that we are still here. And greater works you have still planned for Bethsaida. So we declare it out loud. Thank you, Father God, that you are that we are vessels in your hands. We're instruments in your hands. And we say yes to what you have purposed and planned for this body. We glorify you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank Cheryl for leading us in prayer. And as we pray together with her, and as we always have a leader, we should always pray with our leaders as they're praying, the congregational lead. So thank you. Amen. So well, let's get into our word. For today, I see we have Dana, I think, and also Sister Connie with us. So let's get out the word and get to the word of God. Philippians chapter 4. There's a familiar passage that we want to look at today as we continue our series entitled Please God, or Please God, which means is contrasting two types of prayer. One type that's asking God for what we want, and the other type, which is pursuing what God wants and how we can please Him. So today we continue that series. We may have, I think we have one more, at least one more message in this series. So, excuse me for a second, and we'll be back. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 reads, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We ask a blessing to the readers and hearers of God's holy word. And we pray that God will speak to each of us in his own way during the sharing of his word. We want to talk this morning from the subject, prayer changes us. Amen. That's what I want to talk about. Prayer changes us. Most of the time, and it is true also, that prayer changes things. We've heard that often, that prayer changes things. And I just wanted to kind of share with you that even though that's a correct statement, but I thank God sometimes even more uses prayer to change us more than it does to change things. Let me share with justice, because it is not so important what happens to us as it is to God more important what happens in us. Prayer should allow us to become more like Jesus. Prayer is less about changing things and more about changing us. It's always important to remember that we cannot become what we need to be while remaining what we are. So we should focus today as we share these verses of scripture on the fact that prayer not only changes things, but I think even more so, prayer changes us. All right, let's get into our text for the day and try to look and see if we can see what the Word of God wants to say to us along this line. In Philippians, remember, Paul wrote Philippians and he's in prison. Amen. He's not writing from an easy place or a place of freedom or a place of comfort, but he writes in prison. And as we, I think we've studied this book on some other occasions, some passages out of this book. And as I have said before, even though he's writing from prison in a place of where he's not as comfortable and doesn't enjoy the freedom, still, and I also want to say the fact that he's in prison most of the time, prisons weren't like they are today, where people just stay there for a few years and a few days or a few months and get out. Most of the time when you were put in prison in Paul's time, it usually meant more chances. It usually meant that it was a death sentence. So you were basically, if you were put in prison a lot of time during the day of Paul and in Rome, you was awaiting a death sentence. So even though Paul was waiting a death sentence, had lost his freedom, amen, was changed to different gods and was unable to go out and do the ministry that he loved to do and that God had purposed him to do. But yet, all throughout the book of Philippians, we see Paul talking about joy and rejoicing. And again, I say rejoice. So even in his predicament, we see Paul expressing the joy that he got from the Lord. Now, and this is one thing we're going to see that, because often when we pray, we want God to change the situation or the circumstances that we are in. And that's only human. That's only human. But I would just want to point out the fact that often, just like Paul was able to talk about rejoicing and joy in the Lord, even in his circumstances and his situation, God uses prayer to develop that kind of character in us, that even sometimes when our circumstances and our situation don't change, but yet we change in our perspective on our situation changes. And that's a lot when your perspective on your situation, because then you're asking yourself, even amidst this circumstance and even amidst the situations and the thing that I'm going through, you're asking yourself, because he's changed your perspective through prayer, what or how is God going to bring glory from me being in this situation? How is God going to work this thing out for his glory in my good? So there's a change of perspective. Now, without that prayer and without that change of perspective, what usually happens is we think God doesn't love us, God not therefore, God has given up on us, but that's not the way that sometimes God is trying to change us. Because a lot of times he's trying to change us before he changes our context, our situation, our circumstances. You got to realize our character is far more important to God than our comfort. We're praying for comfort. Oh, God, give me comfort in this situation. The things that make me uncomfortable in this situation, deliver me from them. And God says, no, I'm using this situation. I'm using these circumstances in order to develop character and Christ-likeness in you. So it's not always what God does for us, but often it's what God is doing in us. It's not that it's not always that he can change things, but most of all, we need him to change us. And I think it was Mother Teresa said it like this: God changes us and then we change things. But God is trying to do a movement. So if you, like most of everybody, at one time or another, are in a situation or in a circumstance where you're praying to God for God to bring about a change, I'm not saying that God is not going to bring about that change in the situation, but first and foremost, he may be trying to bring about a change in you. That's just the kind of God that we serve. All right. So that's why Paul was able to say in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He said, and then notice he said always. So that means in every situation, in every circumstance. Now, it's not saying rejoice in the circumstance or in a situation, because it may be a bad situation or a bad circumstance. But it's saying rejoice in the Lord, because even though the situation and circumstance may be bad, but yet God is still good and God is still great and God is still worthy to be praised. Don't ever let what's wrong. We should never let what's wrong with us or our situation keep us from praising what's right with God, because there's always something right with God, because God is still God. He's still sovereign, and he's still worthy, and he's still a God that's worthy to be praised. So whatever your situation is, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then it goes on in verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Listen to what I want to say here. This is that word gentleness. Let your gentleness. Now, in different Bibles, different versions have different words there. Depending on what version you have. But what that word really means in the original, in the Greek, means the I'm going to try to give it to you the best I can. Means the ability to be in it. Think about it. Think about it on a real windy or stormy day where there's a strong wind, a really, really strong wind. And that strong wind blows upon a tree. And the tree bends, but the tree don't break. That's the idea that he has when he talks about gentleness. Gentleness says there are situations that come into our life, but God will give us the ability to bend without breaking, to survive the storm. Now, if that tree or that limb or whatever couldn't bend, it would be broken. But God has invested in us. When we go to these kind of circumstances and these kind of situations, and he's with us, and he's for us, and he's behind us, that even in the midst of that situation, we are able to bend. And then when the wind stops blowing, we are back to where we were, because God gives us that ability. Whole lot of us would have broke a long time ago. But that gentleness, that thing that God gave us, the hound storm, I'm trying to tell you, you were made for storms. Amen. You were made to hound storm. They're going to come. But don't worry about it, because you were made to bend without breaking. And when the wind died down, you'll be right back to who you were. And sometime you'll even become stronger through those winds. You become stronger because God is doing so. So I can understand Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness, amen, because he wants the people around you. God wants the people around you, on your job, in your schoolroom, in your family, your friends, those that you hang out with. He wants them to see a believer that when storms come and the winds are blowing, who's able to bend without breaking. That's what God wants to see in our life. Isn't that a great? I'm glad. I'm so glad, my brothers and sisters, that God is able, amen, to take you to a situation where you can bend and come right back and be right back, amen, being willing to do ministry and whatever God would have you to do. So it said, let your gentleness be known to all men. And then it said, the Lord is at hand. Now this is why I'm kind of getting into that prayer thing. The Lord is at, see, the first thing, when you pray, the Lord is at hand. That means he's near. And that means that he's near your situation. He's at hand. He's there. One great thing about prayer, in one way prayer changes us, is because we feel a sense of the closeness and the nearness of God. It's nothing like feeling far from God or far from him or feeling like you're just separated from any kind of love. But God says, right here in the scripture, Paul says, the Lord is near. The Lord is there for you. In prayer, we experience the closeness of God. When we pray, we realize and believe that he's listening and he's there. Amen. He's listening to us. Prayer. Well, let me put it like this, since most of us are living in these kind of times. Prayer is like having a cell phone. You know, if you're out in a car or somewhere and you fall away from everybody, and especially today, and you don't have a cell phone, you feel like, okay, what if something happens? I need to call somebody. Especially if you're on the highway or 4 hours where there's nothing. You say, man, you just feel like really anxious because you don't have a cell, you don't have a way to get in contact with that person. But amen. And that's kind of sometimes without God, that's how people feel sometimes. But when the Lord is in your life, you know, amen, through prayer, he's right there when you need him. And sometimes you got a cell phone, you have a car breakdown, you can call AAA. But I want to tell you sometime, thing I like about God, sometimes AAA takes too long and he's off schedule. Now, sometimes you may say that God is taking too long on your case, but I want to tell you, God is always on time. He'll get there right when he's done in you enough to now do something through you. That's the kind of God that we serve. So Paul is saying he's at hand, he's near, and prayer gives us that feeling of closeness, that God is there and God is listening and God is interested and we have God's attention. Then it says in verse 6, be anxious. Now, listen. The first word in verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. So it starts out with talking about be anxious for nothing. So the first word that sticks out in the beginning is the word anxious. Now, I'm trying to show you how prayer changes. I'm going to go ahead and show you this. Then we're going to come back and look at this. Now, if you look down at verse 7, verse 6 started out talking about be anxious. Then verse 7, it said, and the peace of God. So we go from the beginning of 6 where we're talking about anxiety to verse 7 where we're talking about peace. So prayer has the power to calm anxiety and bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. It changes us. Be anxious for nothing. Okay. But then Paul just don't leave us there. He's going to give us some, he's going to tell us how to get from this anxiety to this peace. But in everything, by prayer, in supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He said, now, if you're going to get from this anxiety thing, anxiety. Now, there's a difference between anxiety, as Paul is mentioning here, and concern. Of course, when we ourselves, our loved ones, are in certain situations and certain circumstances, we will have some concerns. We will have concerns. That's natural and human to have concerns. But there's a difference between concerns and anxiety. Concerns mean, yes, you need to take action. You need to make plans, of course, with God's wisdom and see how to take care of that care. But anxiety is when you can't shake it. Anxiety is when it gets in the bed with you and won't let you sleep at night. Anxiety is when you can't effectively do your job, because as you're trying to do your job, it's constantly on your mind. Anxiety is when it runs your blood pressure up. Anxiety is when it takes a toll on your body, because whatever that situation, that thing is, it just won't leave you alone where you can have the peace of mind to do what God would have you to do. Now, Paul has said, don't be anxious. Don't have that anxiety. And this is the way you can get away from that thing. First, he says, in everything by prayer. Prayer is a general. It's kind of like the general thing. And when you think about prayer, think about a dialogue with God, where God speaks to you through scripture and sometimes through things in your, putting things in your heart and ideas in your heart and your mind and most of it. But always check those things out by scripture. Now, that's what he's saying here. Let me see. I want to get a little bit more exact about this. When we pray, one of God's goals is to use that prayer to change us. Prayer provides us with an opportunity to learn to agree with God. You with me? Prayer provides us with an opportunity to learn to agree with God. Well, what do you mean by that? Because it's backwards. Sometimes the way we pray is backwards. Because our goal in prayer is to get God to do what we want, to get him to confirm or to agree with our will. We must realize that God is greater than us. He's not our servant. He's not our busboy that we can just say thank you and he obeys our command. But God is sovereign. So we must agree with him. We need to be willing to listen to what God said through his word and the impressions the Holy Spirit makes in our heart when God communicates his will through us. God will communicate his will through his word and in prayer with the impressions that he puts in our hearts. But the word should always be the referee to make sure what you think you're hearing from God should always be in tune with the word of God. God expresses his will to us through his word and through him moving in prayer and speaking to our hearts. Now, we express our thoughts through God in prayer. But as you reflect, especially on God's word, we need to always bring our prayers into agreement with God's word. Don't miss that. As we know God's word, and he confirmed that by sometimes giving us, putting impressions in our heart and for to do things, and we check it out by the word, so we know what the will of God is. Now that we know what the will of God is, it's our challenge to bring our wants and needs and our prayers into conformity to God's will. That's what we've been talking about when we said, thy will be done. And when we said, thy kingdom come. It's not about making God do what we want him to do. But by us finding out, God, what do you want? And when we found out what God wants, our prayer should be for things that help us and aid us and strengthen us and give us the wisdom to please him. That's what he means by prayer. So Paul says, amen. The way you get away from anxiety and to peace is the first to seek to please, God. As you know what his word is and they know what his will is, bring your life and your prayers and your thoughts into conformity to what God wants. That's prayer. Now he says, and supplication. So now that you done, you had questions and you had a conversation with God, you had a dialogue with God, and you understand his will, now as you pursue his will, there are some things you're going to need in order to accomplish his will. So this is where supplication is the things you ask for in order to accomplish God's will. So this kind of takes us back to the Lord's Prayer. Remember his name, his kingdom, his will. That's prayer in general. Now, supplication are some specific ways we're asking for our daily provision, our daily bread, our daily pardon, and our daily protection, and whatever else we need from God to do God's will. Oh, that's what God is trying to get you to as we're on the road. Now, so it says, don't be anxious for nothing. Don't let anything get a hold to you where you can't sleep, can't think, can't eat, can't focus. He said, if you feel that coming on, pray. And the thing about it, we should have such a consistent prayer life that though we should never get to that point. Now, sometimes, if you got chemical imbalances or something like that, or you need some additional help. But in general, if we practice prayer, we should never get to that point. If we are regular in our prayer, that's the reason for this 40-day prayer initiative, because I want to get us, because I have to. Prayer is a struggle for everybody, because prayer is such a powerful weapon, and the enemy knows it's such a powerful weapon. He's going to do everything in his power to keep you from being a prayer warrior. He'd rather you be a proud warrior than a prayer warrior. He'd rather you be somebody want to do it on their own and feel with anxiety than someone who is pursuing pleasing God with the way they pray in their prayers. Oh, and experiencing the presence of God. So he says, the way you get away from the anxiety, hey, take everything to God in prayer and supplication. You find out what his will is. And then you pray for what you need to accomplish his will, whether it's in your family, on your job, and whatever area of your life. God, what's your will here? Okay, this is your will. Okay, I think in order to accomplish this, God, I need some certain provisions. I need certain pardon sometime, and I'm going to need protection. And that's the same thing we saw Nehemiah in that situation last week. Those of you that were with us last week, now go back and listen to that sermon. You need those things. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, look, wait a minute. Don't miss this. With thanksgiving. Now, look, I want you to look at thanksgiving two ways. Number one, thanksgiving, we need to be thanking him for things he's already done. Thank God for what he's already done. Because when you thank God for what he's already done, it's very similar to hallowing his name. Because when you think about what God has already done, you know how great he is. And his name suddenly separates itself from anybody else and everything else in the world, because you look back and see what God had brought you through, and he's still doing it. And you got so much to thank God that once you get to thanking him, you remember, wait a minute, what have I been worried about anyway? Why am I so anxious anyway? God had brought me through over and over again, and you realize how powerful he is and how many doors he's opened for you, and how many times you thought you wasn't going to make it, and how many impossibilities that he'd have made possible. And then you said, wait a minute, why was I worried about it? Wait a minute. This God I serve, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask and think. I don't have no reason to allow anxiety to rule my life. So thank him. Start thanking him. Just start thanking him for what he's done. But also, not only thank him for what he's done, and when you thank for what as you thank him for what he's done, it expands how big your God is in that moment and forever and for eternity, and how great he is, in that he's supreme and he's sovereign and he's mighty and he's more than enough for every situation that you will face. All that happened. And then you thank him in advance. Listen here. You already thanked him for what he's already done. And now he's great in your heart. And you become more confident with God, that God going to work it out and God going to make this thing happen. Then you go ahead and thank him in advance for the things that you've been praying and asking him about now. Because, you know, if he did it in the past, he's able to do it now. So you don't have to wait till he does it. You can thank him in advance for what he's going to do. Because you accept him by faith that he's able to do it. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God I'm trying to get you to see. Let your request be made known to God. And then I say, after you've made your request, because you know what God wants, you know what God will is, and you've asked him for the things you need to get that his will done and perform his will, whatever, because you know he's able to supply. He's able to supply provision. He's able to supply pardon. He's able to supply protection. And anything else you need for God, God is able to supply way more, because he'll give you more than you need. Let me tell you this about prayer before I forget. Listen. When God will answer your prayer, I've said this in a different way, but let me say it a different way. Maybe we can catch it. I always try to include myself because I have to tell myself over and over things again. God will either answer you by giving you what you ask for, or God will answer you by giving you what you should have asked for. Because some things we don't know what we should ask. It says that in Romans 8. We don't know what we asked for. We're ignorant when it comes to prayer about what to ask for. So sometimes, if you're in his will and you sense to him and you kind of have some sense, he'll give you that because that's what you're asking for. But sometimes we don't ask for what we really need, so he'll give you. If he doesn't give you what you ask for, it's because he's going to give you what you should have asked for. Because the Holy Spirit has made intercession for you. And the Holy Spirit knew more what you needed than you knew. That's why sometimes you just got to thank God for unanswered prayer. Because you didn't need what you asked for. And God didn't give you what you asked for. God gave you what you should have asked for. Ain't he good God? That's the kind of God that we serve. And now, when, my brothers and sisters, when we do this, we'll be able to enjoy, because we put it in his hand. We cast our cares upon him, knowing that he will take care of us. So when we do this, now we can enjoy the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It'll guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Peace will guard your mind. So that's why after all we've been through, we ain't lost our mind, because peace was protecting our mind. It was protecting our hearts, because you realize the Bible says out of the heart becomes the issues of life. Amen. And if peace hadn't protected our heart, we'd have done some things and made some decisions in our life that would have just poured out in negative and terrible circumstances. But the peace of God, because when you don't have peace, sometimes you're anxious, you'll make crazy decisions on your based upon your anxiety. But he'll protect your heart. He'll protect you. He'll give you the peace where, because you all, listen here, because this is for somebody today that's in the midst of a decision. You need to make decisions not out of anxiety or fear or worry. You need to make decisions from a place of peace. Peace knowing God is in control. Peace knowing God is going to work it out. Always make, especially the big, big decisions, out of peace. Don't make them out of anxiety or fear. Because often when you make them out of fear, you will cheat yourself out of your promised land. Well, so you need that place of peace. All right, I done kind of talked to y'all about that. I'm thinking y'all getting a sense of that. But listen, I want to show you an illustration here. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Those of you got your Bible, if you can't turn it quick, just write it down. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's a familiar passage, especially to the ladies, because it's about Hannah. I said prayer changes us. I want to show you this in Hannah. I want to show you what I was talking about using Hannah. All right, let me see. Give me just a second here. I'm working with a lot of things, but I'm going to get to just that. Get the computer to do what I want to do. Then I turn my page. All right, here we go. Now, most of y'all know this story. Hannah was barren. She was infertile. I forget the name for it, but she wanted children and couldn't have them. And her husband, Elkanah, realized this, and he tried to do everything he could. He didn't really understand what could help her, but he tried to give her a double potion. Because when you gave a double potion, because he had, number one, he had too many wives, Peninnah and Hannah, which was problematic already. And so, but he tried to give Hannah, since she didn't have children, a double potion. And then Peninnah, the other wife, who had many children, was always picking at Hannah. And kind of putting emphasis and highlighting her barrenness and just acting hateful. So Hannah had to deal with this. But one day, Hannah went in prayer. Listen, look at verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? I told you when you got anxiety, mess up your eating, all everything. When you're worried about something, and why is your heart greed?" Now he didn't understand. He just a man like most of us don't understand. He said, "Am I not better than 10 sons? Linda Hannah, you got me. Having me is better than 10 sons." Now, Hannah didn't disagree with him, but he just didn't understand. One thing, when Peninnah said her stuff, Hannah didn't worry about it. You don't see Hannah responding to a lot of this stuff. Hannah just go ahead and do what she got to do. That's what I like about Hannah. So Hannah, after he said that, she didn't, I mean, I don't know, because she's a supportive. She said, "Well, you know, I haven't been blessed, but I don't know if I've been blessed like that." So, verse 9, so Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was bitter. And she was in bitterness of soul. Y'all see that in verse 10? And she was in bitterness of soul. And she, let me say that a couple more times. And she was in bitterness of soul. And she was in bitterness of soul. Okay, that's what she was before the prayer started. and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So she made a kind of a vow with God. Now, verse 12, and it happened as she was continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Eli, the priest in the temple. Eli watched her mouth. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips. So she was in secret prayer. She wasn't trying to impress nobody. She probably didn't even see nobody around her. She was so focused on God and getting from God for what she needed and taking her burden to the Lord and giving God all that she had. And being in the presence of God, she probably didn't even see Eli around. But as she continued to pray before the Lord, you see, that said she was before the Lord. That's all she saw was the Lord. And Eli was looking at her. And as she spoke, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard because she was in silent prayer. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said there, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. Now, wait a minute. The woman trying to get to God and the priest come by and said, you need to let that drinking go. She's hurting and she pouring herself out before God. Sometime when folk don't understand, you just got to go to the God and say, God understand. Because sometimes folk ain't going to understand what you're going through. But I'm glad we got a God who understands what we're going through. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman. Listen, everybody listen. This is the verse I think here that I want you to look at. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken. Wait a minute. Don't miss these last two words until now. He said, you know, when I was praying, when I poured myself out, it was out of what I was going through, my complaint. Cause I felt like I didn't have what others had. In my grief, I felt like I lost out. I was going through. I was pouring out. Eli, I wasn't drunk. I was pouring out my heart before God out of complaint and out of grief and out of what I was going through. Until now. Wait a minute. Before I was doing all that when you saw me. I had complaints and I had grief until now. In other words, I don't have it no more. I done prayed. I done left it in the Lord's hand. I done left it on the altar. So now I don't have the complaint. I done gave it to him. I done put it in his hand. So now, I'm glad she said until, because most time we miss that until now. Until now. Oh, wait now, because y'all still don't see what I'm saying. Then Eli answered and said, he just gave her like a little benediction. Okay, well, I hope that God do that for you. That's basically what he was saying. Eli answered and said, go in peace, and God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate. Wait a minute. And her face was no longer sad. The baby ain't been born. The prayer ain't been answered. The situation ain't changed. The circumstances ain't changed. But Hannah had changed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Her face was no longer sad. She already said, I did this until now. And now, amen, even though her situation, her circumstances hadn't changed, But God had changed Hannah. Ooh. And Hannah's head is not hung down no more. Her countenance had lifted up. And she goes away, and her face was no longer sad, because prayer changed Hannah. And I'm trying to tell you, just like prayer changed Hannah, it'll change us. Amen. And she went away no longer sad, and God blessed her not only with a child, Samuel. God heard her, because that was Samuel mean. He heard her. Samuel me. God done heard me. God done heard my prayer. But he didn't just bless. I told you he'll do more. She asked for a male child to give. And she was going to give it back to God. And God said, okay. I'm going to work on that. But listen here. I'm going to give you more than you asked for. Because not only did she have Samuel, but after Samuel, she had other kids. I'm going to give you what you should. You should have just went on and asked me for some kids, not just one. I can bless you. You don't have to limit me because I don't have no limit. He did not bless her with Samuel, but he blessed her because since you're going to give Samuel back to me, I still want you to have some kids at the house. And he blessed her with some other kids. I hope he blessed her with just as many Peninnah had. So he didn't walk away. But, you know, Hannah wasn't that kind of woman. But, you know, a lot of us would say, hey, would have looked and say, and start counting when we got around. Let me count all my kids. But you see what God did? What happens in prayer? God changed Hannah. And then Hannah gave birth to Samuel. And Samuel became one of the greatest prophets. Now, notice. When, if you keep reading, I'm not going to read out because we have Brandon 17, but if you keep reading, when God gave Hannah Samuel, she didn't go up with her husband to the sacrifice because she was busy. She said she was busy. It wasn't time for him to give it to the priest. She was involved in training up Samuel. Listen to me now. She said, I don't want to take him up there till he's ready. I got to train up Samuel in godliness before I present him in the temple to Eli. God changed Hannah, and Hannah changed not just her situation, but by raising Samuel, changed the situation in the nation of Israel and gave Israel a prophet that they can trust in. Because Eli couldn't keep his kids under control. And when Eli died, you didn't want Eli's son to be in control. God will sometime, he changes us, and then we change the world. That's what happened to Hannah. He changed Hannah, then Hannah changed the world. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Prayer just don't change things. When you spend time with God, it changes you. And sometimes it'll change you to the point that you just want to go to God and just worship him. And you don't even want nothing from God. You just want to go and spend time and worship and praising him, thanking him for all he done, how he done blessed you and brought you through. And that's enough for you. Just him. Sometimes just him becomes enough. He will bring you to the point when that he becomes enough. You don't need anything else. He becomes enough and even more than enough for you. And that's what God is trying to get you. Because when God can get you to that point where he's enough for you, ain't none the devil can do to hold you back then. Because what can he take? If God is enough, ain't nothing he can take for you. Ain't nothing he can threaten you with. To take from you. That's the kind of God we serve. Aren't you glad that God is able to change you? So now, don't just say, I know it's a good song. And it's true. It's true to a point. Prayer changes things. Oh, and I'm glad prayer changes things. But when you're singing that song, always have in the back of your mind, yes, it changes. He changes things, but not only does he change things, but even more importantly, he changed me and he changes us so we can change things. Sometimes the reason why we're going through, and he hasn't ended yet, because as I said before, it's to God is not about our comfort. It's about our character. And he'll make us uncomfortable to produce character in our lives. Well, I want you to think about that. If you don't know Christ this morning, you join in our podcast together, you don't know Christ. He loved you so much he died on Calvary's cross. He came all the way from heaven down. Came a baby in a manger, human being, but yet this human being was also God's son. And he loved the world so much he died for the world. And the Bible says whoever will put their trust in him, whoever will put their faith in him and accept what he done on the cross, the fact that he paid for your sins, he'll give you a new life if you believe in him. We're going to come with a song. Gabrielle is going to bring us a song. As the song is being sung, meditate upon how God can change you, praying and spending time before God. And if you're considering becoming a believer, becoming a follower of Christ, let this song show how believers value our relationship with Christ. We'll be back afterwards with some words and our final announcements.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. We pray that if you've this has been a moment that you've surrendered your life and given your life to Christ, that you'll contact us. I think there's ways to contact us on the podcast. Or there's a number you can call and contact us. 903-915-0865. We'll counsel with you if you need any help accepting Christ as Savior. We'll connect with one of our discipleship counselors, and that way you can learn more about how to be a follower of Christ. Thank all of you for joining in today and sharing with us in our podcast gathering. I have an announcement here. It's about, give me just a second. At the Women's Bible Study. Women's Bible Study will be at 6 on Zoom Saturday. The Women's Bible Study will be at 6 o'clock on Zoom this coming Saturday. So keep that in mind. Okay, so we're changing that from 6 to 6:30. So the Woman's Bible Study on Zoom will be at 6:30 Saturday, this coming Saturday, for all of our women and their guests. All right. Let's continue to pray. We hope we all prepared. Let's try to get through the little snow and ice together, and we'll see each other soon and speak to each other soon. Continue to pray for one another. And even though we are in this time and with all the things that are going on, don't let it keep you from prayer, and don't let it keep you from making disciples, from praying about people you can talk to about Christ, people that need to come to Christ, people that have issues in their life that become strongholds that they need deliverance from. Let's continue to pray for those things, for our friend and in health and well-being for all of us. Praise God. Amen. went through the COVID and we went through the other side and now negative. So, hey, we're positive about being negative because God is good. Anyway, a whole lot of people went through and didn't make it, but we just thank God for being so good to us and allowing us another day that wasn't promised to us. And thank you for y'all support. All right, somebody wishing a happy Valentine's Day. I can't see it all on the screen. Francia. All right, thank you. And we hopefully everybody enjoy this time together with the couples and the uncoupled, because you're still loved by God tremendously. All right, have a great day and enjoy the rest of your day worshiping the Lord. Take time to pray. Next week we'll give you the date for the end of the prayer initiative, but it's not the end. When I say the end of the prayer initiative, it's the beginning of making prayer a regular part of our lives. And for those of you who kind of caught on to prayer doing this initiative, the initiative will be over, but we hope you got you're off to a great start for a lifelong practice of prayer in prayer rightfully, where you're trying to please God and not just pleading with God for what you want. So that's our desire, and that's what we all want. Prayer will always be a struggle. I don't know anybody in any place in church, whether it's from pew to the pulpit, prayer is not a struggle. I'm read a lot of the leaders and the great theologians of the ages and preachers and church people, and they all had to struggle with it because it's the thing that Satan most wants to keep you away from, because he knows it's the most powerful weapon, one of the most powerful weapons we have. So let's try to get into the prayer and make prayer a dynamic part of our lives. As we've seen during these 40 days, how hopefully you've experienced how great prayer is, and especially just by being in the presence of God. All right, I'm going to let y'all go. Thank y'all again for joining us. Continue to pray. Have a great Lord's Day.